You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. Hour one on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Certain fan bases weren't happy yesterday. News came out. J.J. Watt made his decision. He's not going back home to Wisconsin with the Packers. Joining the new and improved Buffalo Bills. Maybe the Tennessee Titans, the Cleveland Browns, reunited with his brother in Pittsburgh. He chose the Arizona Cardinals. Got the hopes up in places like Buffalo and Green Bay, certainly, and maybe a nice addition and could have put those teams over the top. And some critics say, oh, you chose money over playing for a championship. Imagine if you joined the Kansas City Chiefs. What would we say about J.J. Watt? Oh, okay. You're like the Kevin Durant of the NFL. You got to join somebody else to win a championship. All I know is the NFL is year to year. When you think about Tom Brady joined the Buccaneers, I mean, think back on that. When he joined the Buccaneers, at the time, did you realize they had made the playoffs since 2007? Then they go and win the Super Bowl. But at the time, we thought, oh, okay, gets to play in Florida, get away from New England weather. Bruce Arians, a fun coach to play for, offensive-minded guy, former quarterback in college. Got some weapons there. We just thought it was a nice story. And then people realized, oh, Tampa's got a top-five defense. Tom had done his homework, and he was going to have a larger say in how good the Buccaneers were because Jameis Winston was holding them back. Well, they win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying J.J. Watt is going to help Arizona win the Super Bowl. Let's see if they make the playoffs first. And they were a team that lost eight games last year. Five of the eight were by one score. Does J.J. Watt help in that category? I guess. I mean, they did score. They outscored the opposition. Get Kyler Murray another year. You got Chandler Jones, Buda Baker. Maybe Larry Fitzgerald comes back, DeAndre Hopkins, okay. But I think what Arizona did is the Bidwells went out and got him. The owner, he went and picked him up. Said, we want you. Maybe that's all it needed. Now he got paid, got guaranteed money there. But here's where the Texans made yet another mistake, because they misread the market. The number of teams interested in J.J. Watt, this is where the Texans probably should have taken some calls on J.J. Watt. You could have gotten some draft picks here. That's what they keep trying to acquire, draft picks. Maybe you get a third rounder, maybe second rounder. You get all these teams bidding against each other. I think the Texans misread the market because how many teams? I didn't know the Colts were interested. I didn't know Arizona was interested. We knew Cleveland was. We knew Green Bay was. We knew the Titans were. And then all of a sudden, so there's five teams. Put it out there on the open market. See what we get. Maybe you get a couple of draft picks there. All I know is you didn't get anything. And J.J. goes to Arizona now. Two-year deal. Their odds didn't jump up in Vegas, you know, because he's a defensive player who's 32 years of age. This isn't a quarterback. A quarterback will change the odds, not a defensive player, or at least this defensive player. If Aaron Donald changed teams and went to Seattle, Seattle's Super Bowl odds would improve dramatically. But he goes to a team that we're not used to seeing be successful or get these kind of players. They had their run with Kurt Warner, but keep in mind when they got Kurt Warner was kicked to the curb by the Giants. People didn't know that he was going to have, you know, this resurgence latter part of his career, and because of that became a Hall of Famer. But Texans could have misread the market there, could have gotten something in return, but J.J. Watt surprised everybody, I think, yesterday as I was ready to leave the man cave. Paulie goes, it's in. J.J., I, you know what? Got a great source. It's J.J. Watt who's reporting where he's going. And he goes, it's not one of the teams that you thought. And I go, Chicago Bears. Like, we just started throwing out teams. We weren't quite sure. Okay, it's not the teams that we thought. And Paulie says Arizona. And I go, Arizona? Okay. Now, if you haven't been to Arizona this time of the year, you should try it. It's a wonderful place. Maybe not for you in July and August, but this time of the year, certainly beautiful. That's another thing. When you go visit a school, when you're being recruited, when you go to Syracuse, you know, it's probably important that you go maybe not in the wintertime. You know, certain places that you go and you go, hey, come on in. You want to see what the city's all about, the surroundings are all about. You know, if you went to Buffalo last week, you might go, no, I don't know. I'm not sure. And then you go to Arizona. The owner sends his private plane. He's on the private plane. You got your new wife. You may say, hey, this is where we want to live. Maybe it's lifestyle there for him. But as far as chasing the money, the reports are he could have made more money in at least two of the other places there. It may just be lifestyle. Maybe something as simple as that. I thought if I'm Kansas City, I make a run at him. And I wondered if JJ would play for a team. Has obviously a great chance to win a Super Bowl. How important is that for him? I don't know. But he got where he wanted to go. He had the opportunities to go to these other places. And here he is. He's an Arizona Cardinal paired with Chandler Jones. Buda Baker in there. I don't know if, you know, you look at that defense and where it ranks in that division, but, you know, you're going to get some people's attention. And the fact they were 8-8, you know, if they're a 10-6 team, you make the playoffs. I don't know what San Francisco is going to be like because they can't decide on who is going to be the quarterback that replaces Jimmy G. The Rams, I think, are going to be formidable. Seattle, I'm not quite sure with the drama going on in the offseason, but maybe it gets into the playoffs and maybe that's enough for him. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Here is J.J. Watt after signing with the Cardinals.
I'm very excited. My wife and I are very excited to be here. Mr. Bidwell, Steve, everybody here has been unbelievable so far. And I'm just excited to get started. I'm very excited to get started, get to work, get to know the people of Arizona, and to go to work to try and help win a championship. And the one thing that I can promise you is I'm going to work my ass off every single day to make you proud. And I'm very proud to be a part of the Bird Gang in the Red Sea. So let's get started.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for. A little bit more enthusiastic J.J. Watt with a Wattism. I just know one thing. I'm going to work my ass off, make you proud. We're good guys. Who's with me? We're good-ass dudes. Who's with me? Let's go. On three. Yeah, Paul.
He dropped and did 40 push-ups right after that interview, right on the tarmac.
Of course he did. This program brought to you by Built Bar. 16 grams of protein, low calorie, low carb, and tastes great. Tastes better than a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, promo code DP20, 20% off your first order.
I have a little more audio from JJ.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Hey, the philosophy of this squad is off the field, we're good-ass dudes. We're nice guys. We do the right thing. On the field, when you step on the field, you're the baddest on the planet, and together we're the baddest f-ing team on the planet, and that's the way we're gonna attack every f-ing day. I don't care who walks into our building, I don't care whose building we walk into, we're the baddest f-ing out there. Texans on three. 1-2
oh,
three. Texans.
Oh dang, sorry, I thought that was yesterday.
That
darn
was
it,
not yesterday.
Sorry.
Not yesterday. Cardinals odds didn't move in Vegas. Arizona 40-1 to win the Super Bowl, 20-1 to win the NFC. That's tied for the eighth best odds. But JJ turns 32 on March 22nd. And, you know, he's a future Hall of Famer. A lot of injuries there. He's going to be an old 32 when he lines up to start this season. But fun little diversion from all the quarterback controversy with JJ Watt signing. McLovin, you got a poll question for me?
Yeah, I have some J.J. Watt questions.
Okay.
I want to start with this one,
right?
A little legacy question.
Right.
At their peak, who would you rather have, J.J. Watt or Aaron Donald?
Well, I don't know if I've seen Aaron Donald at his peak yet.
Well, he's about to turn 30, got hurt at the end of last year. Science says he will. You've seen his peak.
Yes. I think J.J. was more disruptive or got more publicity for being more disruptive. Because he's knocking down passes, you know, intercepting passes. it felt like J.J. Watt got a lot of attention with the way he played. Aaron Donald, I think, quietly, surprisingly, became the defensive player, the best defensive player.
I feel like Donald got some recognition the last year or two. Kind of like on primetime games, everyone sort of focused on him a little bit.
No? Yeah, but how long has he been the best defensive player? We just didn't recognize him as the best defensive player.
I think there were probably 3 years where he was the best guy, but nobody recognized him.
Well, we talked about the coach. We talked about the coach and the quarterback. We weren't talking about Aaron Donald. I think Aaron Donald was right in front of us. We chose not to recognize him as the best defensive player. First of all, he's not doing endorsements, not a self-promoter. You're not focusing on him on the sidelines. All of these things that J.J. Watt was able to do, he garnered a lot of attention. And I think because of that, Aaron Donald is not at the level of J.J. Watt, but I think part of that is just brand recognition, that people sort of people know J.J. Watt. I think you got to know football to know Aaron Donald. And the position he plays, it's not a glamour marquee position. He's a defensive lineman. He's not an edge rusher. But he disrupts as many plays, if not more so, than J.J. Watt did. Because when you're an edge rusher, you feel like everything you do is built upon getting to the quarterback. As, Aaron Donald gets to the quarterback, but his job is to disrupt everything in the middle of that line and make the quarterback uncomfortable going up the middle. Not glamorous, and you got to watch him with his greatness, but J.J. was larger than life there. And look, three-time defensive player of the year, and he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah, McLovin.
So I'm looking at the list of defensive player of the year. There's only three guys who've won it three times. J.J.,
LT.
Aaron Donald last year, and LT.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean Aaron Donald and J.J. Watt are better than Reggie White and Ray Lewis. I'm curious how that ended up being. Like, Reggie White didn't win more than twice? That seems funny to me.
Yeah, you can make a case that Reggie White is the best pass rusher of all time. Now, might not have the numbers there, but you can make a case. And also, keep in mind, when Reggie White signed with Green Bay, like, that was the first time it felt like in free agency you went, wow, anything is possible. Because you went Green Bay, and Reggie White went there at the end of his career. You see these guys when they leave. When do they leave? And then what kind of impact do they have when they go to another team? And Reggie had a huge impact when he went to the Packers. Yeah, Paul.
Lawrence Taylor's last 3 or 4 years, he was injured and beat up and wasn't Lawrence Taylor. He was an all-pro as a rookie. I mean, it's so rare to be all-pro as a rookie. I think Quentin Nelson's the only guy around these days. Lawrence Taylor was 6 for 6. His first 6 years, 6 times All-Pro. eight of his first 10 years, All-Pro. Not Pro Bowl, All-Pro.
Also, when you start to look at sack numbers, there's more opportunities here. And if you played back in the 60s or 70s, first of all, they weren't keeping track of sacks back then. But now you're throwing 50 times in a game. And you never did that. Like, if you threw 25 times back in the 60s and 70s, that felt like an awful lot. A quarterback truly managed a game back then. And that's why you didn't have quarterbacks throw 30 touchdowns in a season. Now it feels like everybody should be thrown for 4,000 yards and at least 25 to 30 touchdowns. And everybody should be completing 65% of their passes. It's a pass-happy league. Therefore, you're going to get more opportunities for sacks. Chandler Jones has almost 100 sacks. Isn't that amazing? And if you look at his numbers compared to J.J. Watt over the last, 5 to 6 years, it's really close in what they've done. Now, J.J.'s been injured, but nobody knows Chandler Jones. I mean, you have to be a football fan to know Chandler Jones, but you get one. I mean, is he a Hall of Famer? How many guys have had 100 sacks in their career and not made it into the Hall of Fame? I'd be curious. Yeah, McLovin.
Just real quick on Aaron Donald, though. He was second in the league in sacks, but he did it from the inside. That's crazy.
Yes, but
nobody does that, though. Even Watt.
He's more disruptive than any other defensive player. because it's up the middle.
Yeah.
Up the middle changes everything. If you're an edge rusher, I double you and I can keep you away. Up the middle, Aaron Donald is wreaking havoc. And it, you know, Warren Sapp was able to do this. There's certain guys who play, you know, interior defensive line, but to create, I'd rather have Aaron Donald in the middle than I would J.J. Watt on the wing, because up the middle, now I make the quarterback move one way or another. On the edge, I double you, and you know I can always, I can still stay in the pocket there, and that's why I think what Aaron Donald does is not glamorous, but he is, you know, he's a Hall of Famer because of this, you know, winning three Defensive Players of the Year award. All right, any other poll questions, suggestions there, McLovin?
Yeah, and by the way, we're pulling that stat on 100 sacks. It's really kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm just curious if somebody got to 100 and they're not considered a Hall of Famer or potential Hall of Famer. Yeah, Paulie?
I've got the list all time. There's a bunch of guys over 100, but the line of demarcation is about 120 sacks. Okay. Of the guys with over more than 120 sacks, there's certain guys that might not go to the Hall of Fame, like John Abraham has 133. Mm. Jared Allen has 136. They're in the era of the passing era, so they got more opportunity. Leslie O'Neal, 132. They're probably not going to the Hall of Fame. Terrell Suggs, 139, he probably is.
T. Suggs will.
DeMarcus Ware has 138. He probably is.
Yeah.
Robert. Then there's a bunch of guys at the 120 mark, like Robert Mathis and Simeon Rice and Clyde Simmons and Sean Jones. They're not going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so maybe it is 120, 125 right. In that area.
But then there's, you know, if you, the pace that Chandler Jones is on right now, he's flying to 120.
But how old is he?
30.
Mm.
He was the youngest player in the league his first year, and the Patriots let him go. You remember he had some troubles walking in the police department in Boston, and they moved on easily and didn't pay him.
Yeah.
He's better shape than his brother is. John Jones.
Yeah.
One guy, Dwight Freeney's a Hall of Famer, right?
Is yeah.
He? He's not in yet. I just looked. I don't know if he's when he's eligible. He played forever. That's part of the problem.
125 sacks.
But yeah. Mathis, Robert Mathis, does not feel like a Hall of Famer. He was never a very big star.
No. It felt like Freeney, his style got more attention. Plus, he's a good story. And, you know, I don't vote, wouldn't want the opportunity to vote on the Hall of Fame. It's a thankless job. But it feels like if you put Freeney in, you got to put Mathis in. But it feels like Freeney got a lot more attention than Mathis did. Yeah, McLovin.
If we want another poll question, by the way, what's the question for the Cardinals? Are they a Super Bowl contender, question mark, or are they going to make the playoffs? Like, what's the expectation? What's a fair poll?
Well, I would start with just the playoffs because they're 8-8, and they're in a tough division.
Kind of a soft 8-8, I might add.
Really?
Yeah, they had. Remember they jumped out early because they played like all those zero-win teams? And then they beat the Bills on a Hail Mary, and then they disappeared.
Yeah. But you lost a lot of close games. You know, 5 of the 8 were by one score. I think 3 of those were by 3 points or less. Kyler, another year. I don't know how much you can rely on Larry Fitzgerald. You know, do you have a quality running game? Take pressure off Kyler.
Do you trust Cliff? That's what I wonder, because you had some questions when they hired him.
Well, he wasn't a great college coach. So, yeah, I had questions about him. But it feels like they're moving in the right direction. But you got to get that defense together. I guess Patrick Peterson back. Is Hassan Reddick going to be back? You got Buda Baker. You got Chandler Jones. Okay. But, you know, I think there's some question marks there. Yeah, Paulie.
These sack stats are nutty. Just for people don't remember Bruce Smith and Reggie White, Bruce Smith, for his career, has the same amount of sacks as J.J. Watt and Von Miller combined. Those guys are both first ballot Hall of Famers, right? Is that fair to say Von Miller's and J.J. Watt are probably first ballot? Bruce Smith has 200 sacks. Von and J.J. have about 205 together. Reggie White has 198.
And imagine them playing now with the number of opportunities you would get with the number of passing attempts. Be crazy. All right, we'll take a break. We'll settle on a poll question. Phone calls are always welcome. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. Say good morning. Good morning to our radio affiliates. Our TV partner is Peacock. Twitter handle @DP Show. We'll come back with our poll question. Phone calls. We'll check in with the Arizona Cardinals coming up a little bit later on. Kyrie Irving is on record as saying there's no tension in Houston when James Harden returns tomorrow. And James Harden getting a lot of attention now for MVP. I'll tell you why he should not. Also, Tua Tagovailoa has an interesting comparison with his former quarterbacking teammate at Alabama, Mac Jones. Have that for you coming up as well. And where Alex Smith should end up, it's a no-brainer. Washington is not going to have him back at age 36. Comeback player of the year, where he should sign, to me, is a no-brainer. 22 after the hour. Just getting started. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
I wondered aloud the last time you had two teammates who had at least 100 career sacks together. Last time it happened was 1999, John Randall and Chris Dolman. Prior to that, Leslie O'Neal, Derek Thomas. Who else in here? Chris Dolman, Kevin Green, Bruce Smith, Jim Jeffcoat, Reggie White, Sean Jones. Reggie White also in here again. Bruce Smith in here again. Ricky Jackson and Richard Dent. Dwight Freeney. Mathis reached 100 in Indy in 2013. That was Freeney's first year in San Diego. But you're going to have J.J. Watt, who already has 100 sacks, and Chandler Jones is on the doorstep there to get 100 sacks in his career. Dan Bickley, the sports columnist, radio host on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM, is back with us. Bick, great to talk to you again. How's morale in Arizona?
Oh, never been better, Dan. I tell you what, nothing like a star, superstar like J.J. Watt to make you conveniently forget a football team that really choked a playoff berth that was right in front of him last year in Arizona. So he is the big feel-good story. He's the big rallying point. It's a great public relations move for this franchise, Dan.
Did anybody have any inkling that Arizona was on the radar for J.J.?
No, you know, we talked about it, but we kind of assumed a couple of things here. Number one, that J.J. Watt wouldn't want to come to a team that was kind of not exactly Super Bowl close. And secondarily, the Cardinals have a lot of needs, man. And we just didn't think they'd go shopping for a luxury item like J.J. Watt. But there's been a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. DeAndre Hopkins has been an active recruiter. You know, maybe the Cardinals will go full blast here and try to get into the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. That would be something.
Well, I did wonder about that. And I know this was on social media yesterday, because you could send Kyler Murray back to Texas, where he's a legend, high school legend there. But do you think that the Cardinals would entertain the possibility of trying to trade for Deshaun Watson?
You know what? I would, given their history with the Texans, I would never say no to anything. I think this might be a little too much for them to chew off DP, but you know, there are serious questions with Kyler Murray. The kid flashed, but I mean, you guys as a radio broadcast, you are one of the first to see how sometimes not relatable he can be and how quirky he can be communicating with him. And he's not exactly this full blown leader like they have in Buffalo with Josh Allen. So to me, the quarterback piece in Arizona, as tantalizing as Kyler Murray looks, I still have a lot of questions about this kid and how comfortable he's going to feel playing in the NFL, given his size and given his limitations and given the fact that this offense around him last year did nothing if he wasn't taking off and running with the football. So if I were them, I'd try to make this whole thing a Texans reunion here in Arizona. I'd throw my hat in, no doubt about it.
I'm also trying to figure out where the Cardinals rank. Their Super Bowl odds didn't change with the signing of J.J. Watt. Their odds to win the NFC West did not change whatsoever.
No.
I still have a lot of question marks here. I don't know how long you can rely on Larry Fitzgerald. Are you going to keep the defense together there? DeAndre Hopkins is wonderful, but I just don't know about this team. I don't know. I think they're a spoiler.
Yeah, the thing about this football team is the signing of J.J. Watt is great for a lot of different reasons, but the Cardinals didn't have issues on defense last year. They had Hassan Reddick and a special teams guy named Dennis Gardeck combined for over 20 sacks. Defense wasn't their issue. The issue is this offense and this head coach in Cliff Kingsbury, who's been thoroughly overmatched in 2 years at the helm here, and whether or not this thing is going to ascend and whether or not he can build an offense featuring Kyler Murray that doesn't rely on these helter-skelter scrambles. And that's the big issue. And then where are the wide receivers going to come from? This is a team that drafted Andy Isabella over DK Metcalf. And they're not the only team to miss on DK Metcalf, but they've missed on a lot of guys recently. So there's a lot of issues here that J.J. Watt does not solve, which is kind of what's interesting about this. But at the same time, they need a culture creator here in the worst way. They need a guy who comes in and sets a level of accountability, because there's not a whole lot of that around here. This team is highly penalized. They don't always show up ready to play on Sunday afternoon. So, you know, focus is an issue. So they need somebody to get them on point, given the weird dynamics of the hierarchy here in Arizona.
Are you sold on Cliff Kingsbury as the coach?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I was in on this at the very beginning, coming out of what we experienced in Arizona post Bruce Arians. The offense under Mike McCoy was about as awful as you could imagine, and that's saying something in Arizona. And I think what we all did here was like, heck yeah, we'll take a shot on somebody who's got a renowned offensive reputation in college, but he did it running a system that doesn't work full-blown in the NFL. So to me, Cliff Kingsbury was a Hail Mary. It was a swing of the bat. And from what I've seen, particularly at the end of last year, I'm just not that impressed. I don't think this thing is going to work, but who knows? If Kyler Murray has the kind of year in year three, if he takes a quantum leap, he'll take everybody along with him.
You're kind of a buzzkill. Like
I've heard that before.
Maybe J.J. Watt should have spoken to you. Maybe he would fire you up.
Yeah, no, listen, I am fired up about J.J. Watt. This football team really needed something to grasp on to move past the way last season ended, where they got manhandled by a injury-decimated 49ers team, and then there was a debacle of a game at the end of the year against the Rams. Both times they win, they get in the playoffs, and they were at their very worst. So, yeah, I've got a lot of cause for concern, but I am very happy that there's something positive to rally around here. We've also got Chris Paul. And he's been terrific in Phoenix.
You like the chances of the Suns better than the Cardinals?
I do. I think if DeAndre Ayton can round into a player who has who can sort of end the passivity and if he can play with a little more ferocity, I think this team has got a real shot. They got a couple of guys in the final 5 minutes of a playoff game in Chris Paul and Devin Booker who can light you up, and they can get these games to a finish line. And I think the depth of talent around them right now is good enough that they're going to be in this game. I think they got a shot at the Western Conference Finals.
I'm going to have you on, as we get closer to the NFL playoffs and the Cardinals are in the playoffs, and then see what you think.
I hope you're right. You know, I'm always here for you, DP.
Thank you, Dan. That's Dan Bickley, the sports columnist, radio host on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM. Bick, great to talk to you again. Thank you, buddy. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app. Ross Tucker never quit on any of his teams. some of his teams ask him to quit. The former NFL player, now the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, also the analyst for Westwood One, kind enough to join us. How are you, Ross?
Dan, I'm fantastic, except I'm on chat row right now at danpatrick.com, and I can't figure out how to change my avatar. I got to get this beautiful meathead James Vanderbeek picture on there. So I'm just I'm like the people on Twitter I hate right now. I'm a nameless, faceless guy.
You do look like a bigger James Vanderbeek. I see it. Like a thicker, beefier James Vanderbeek.
Yeah, I've always gotten that one and Putty from Seinfeld. Those are the two I've gotten a million times. The thing is like, I don't think either one of those guys look like each other. I don't get the meathead Vanderbeek one. I kind of get the Putty one. He's a big guy. Go Devils. Got to support the team. I never really understood the Vanderbeek one, but enough people say it. And I don't know how one day you were out and I was filling in. They call me meathead Vanderbeek and it's stuck ever since.
Well, Fritzy looks like Paulie from Rocky.
Which I hate.
But he does look like Paulie from Rocky.
Hey there, Rocco.
You know what? I never heard that before. And Fritzy, I kind of see it a little bit.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
I can't remember what movie it was, but what is up with you taking all of Rocky's hard-earned money? I mean, he's in there punching people, getting punched, and then you spend and blow all his money, Fritzy?
It's terrible. I think it's not right.
Was that Rocky IV that you did then?
Yeah, in the Soviet Union there?
Yeah.
I think that was the one. I was pocketing
All right, your reaction to J.J. Watt going to Arizona's what?
Initial reaction, Dan, was surprise because it hadn't been one of the teams that had been reported, right? You'd heard a lot about the Bills, the Browns, certainly the Packers. It felt like the Arizona Cardinals kind of came out of nowhere. Look, I'll be honest, Dan, I think he went to the place that offered him the most money. And I've got no problem with that whatsoever. You know, I think a lot of times people say he should have gone here for a ring or should have gone there for a ring. Like, look at the Vegas odds, okay? It's really hard to win a ring. So would the Packers have a better chance than the Cardinals? Yeah. Would the Buffalo Bills have a better chance than the Cardinals? Probably. But the Packers haven't been in the Super Bowl in 10 years. So, okay, he goes there. Marginally better chance to go to the Super Bowl, or he goes to Buffalo Bills. They haven't been in the Super Bowl in almost 30 years, whatever it is. I think the only thing you know for sure, Dan, is the money that you're going to get from that contract. And I know fans don't want to hear this, and I know all of your listeners want guys to just go where they think they have a best chance to win a ring. Is it likely in Arizona? Probably not. But this is his last big bite at the apple. They gave him the most guaranteed money, it sounds like, by far. I don't blame him one bit. They don't have as good a chance to win the Super Bowl as some of these other teams, but they do have a chance. They're not a terrible team. And he gets the guaranteed money he was looking for. I don't blame him.
I think this just comes down to lifestyle for J.J. Watt. And I have no problem with that. I know we want guys to chase the ring until they chase the ring, and then we criticize you for chasing the ring. I think J.J. Watt probably looked at this and said, it's a good team, maybe not a great team. I can be a leader there. And, his wife is from Utah. Maybe this is just comes down to something simple of, you know, the money was important, but lifestyle as well. If you've been to Scottsdale this time of the year, it's a wonderful place to live. And maybe that's all this was. All right, a couple other things here. I mentioned first hour, I have the perfect landing spot for Alex Smith. Washington football team doesn't want him anymore. He's 36 years of age. And do you want to know what my pick is?
I have a guess.
Okay.
I was not listening. I'm going to guess Chicago Bears.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, interesting.
Reunited with Urban Meyer. At age 36, you're going to be drafting Trevor Lawrence. You're able to sort of be that liaison, backup quarterback, offensive coordinator, assistant head coach, whatever it is. And not a lot of pressure there. Maybe you start out as the starter as Trevor Lawrence gets acclimated there. But I thought Alex Smith on that roster made a whole lot of sense for Urban Meyer.
Yeah, it's the first time I've heard that, Dan. I like it. What I really like the most about it is for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, Alex Smith is an awesome guy, consummate professional. If you listen to Patrick Mahomes talk about Alex Smith and what Alex did for Mahomes that first year, Patrick Mahomes gives Alex Smith a ton of credit. So from Jacksonville's perspective, it absolutely makes sense, especially with Trevor having this torn labrum shoulder surgery. Maybe you don't want him out there week one. Maybe he needs a couple weeks. The thing I don't like about it, Dan, I don't think Alex wants to really be a backup. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think Alex wants to play. I mean, he's made a ton of money.
He may not have a choice, though. He may not have a choice, though.
I think you're right. I think it'd be tough for any team right now to say Alex Smith is our guy. You know, the one place right now is that maybe Matt Nagy, who worked with him in Kansas City, thinks I can win 10 games with Alex. He'll be better than Trubisky or Foles would be. But, you know, that injury he suffered, Dan, is just so tricky. There's a reason why he had calf issues at the end of the season. There's a reason why he couldn't play in the playoff game. I don't think any team is going to hitch their wagon, Alex Smith. I think you're right. And I think Jacksonville probably does end up becoming maybe his best spot.
We haven't had you on since the Russell Wilson story blew up and the fact that his agent publicly says to Adam Schefter, hey, if we want to stay, but if we get traded, here's the four teams here. To me, that felt like that's the end. That's you can't be one foot in and one foot out. You can't be sort of pregnant. And it feels like, hey, we want to stay, but what do you think happens with Russell Wilson eventually?
Yeah, so two separate and distinct things here in my mind. Number one, you know, for him to go on with you and say the things that he said, I was really surprised. I've always been a big Russell Wilson fan, big Russell Wilson supporter, but to say that he's tired of getting hit so much, you know, hey, Russell, you kind of have the ball in your hand. You kind of control that. How about throwing the ball away? How about getting rid of the ball sooner? You know, I will just tell you, as a former offensive lineman, I took offense to that, right? Like, that was like publicly calling out his offensive line. And to some extent, in my mind, publicly calling himself out. What happened to that personal accountability, personal responsibility? You don't see Tom Brady say, I'm sick of getting hit too much, or Drew Brees. They get rid of the ball. So that bothered me. And then this whole thing of he doesn't want to go somewhere else, but if he does, these are the team. What does that even mean? He doesn't want to go somewhere else, but if he does, these are the teams. I don't know. I mean, I don't know, Dan, if he really wants to leave or if he's figured out that the best way to have everybody talking about you is to leak that you want to go somewhere else. And to even start to leak specific, I mean, people in Chicago are going crazy. I saw some guy tweet that Russell Wilson saying he wanted to go to the Bears is the third best quarterback in Bears history. Just Russell Wilson saying he wanted to go to the Bears. I mean,
And
why would he want to go there? Why would you want to go to the Bears? Like, that doesn't make sense.
That was Paulie who tweeted that, Ross. It was. Paulie said it's the third greatest moment for a potential Bears quarterback that Russ just mentioned the Bears on his wish list of four. You just think he wants to be talked about, and that's why they're leaking all of this?
There are people that believe that Russell Wilson sort of fancies himself, Dan, as like the football Magic Johnson over the next 10, 20 years of his life and wants to have that type of business impact. He is really into investing. He's really into doing deals where he gets equity. And he's got a lot of people that he talks to, it's my understanding. And I think that part of it might be, I don't think it's all of it. I think there is some frustration that they haven't been able to get back to the Super Bowl. But let's just say this. I think he has realized that his name being in the news is not a negative for all of the other things he wants to accomplish off the field.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, former NFL player and host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Also, Ross's birthday today. Happy birthday, Ross.
Thank you. I am twice the legal drinking limit. So I will have some daddy sodas tonight. I will say this, Dan. I don't like birthdays anymore. I'm at the age where I no longer like, I'm like 42. That I don't like birthdays. My wife thinks I'm weird. She's like, well, it's better than the alternative, but I'm not loving birthdays anymore. I think up until like 35, I still liked my birthday. Now I'm like, no, we don't need to talk about it. And maybe that means I'm a weirdo now. I don't know. I'm not loving it.
You weren't playing in February or March, so you wouldn't get gifts from your teammates when you played, right?
No, but, you know, we obviously got gifts around Christmas time. There were some guys that were better than others, Dan. Look, Drew Bledsoe, the 1 year he got us 2 plane tickets anywhere you wanted to go. So that's where my wife and I went on our honeymoon, to Hawaii, thanks to Bledsoe's plane tickets. The next year he gave us a Motorola Droid Razor when that was like the coolest phone, and he paid the bill unlimited minutes for like 3 years until his mom called me and was like, hi, Ross, this is Barbara Bledsoe, Drew's mom. The gift is over now. Meanwhile, Dan, there was Emmett Smith, who my second year, I started the last 7 games for Emmett. He gave us signed Emmett Smith all-time leading rusher book, signed Emmett Smith jersey, and a signed bottle of Emmett Smith all-time leading rusher wine, a wine bottle that he signed. It was amazing.
So you were probably mad when Brady took over for Drew Bledsoe, because that meant you were not getting any great gifts.
Well, so the funny thing is, you really only get the gift if you're a starter. So I only got the gift 3 years, my second year, my third year, and my fourth year. My rookie year, I didn't get one of the gifts from Tony Banks or whoever it was at Washington. When I was in New England, I didn't get a gift from anybody. You really only get the gift if you're a starter, but it is pretty sweet. I've seen some of the gifts these guys get now. They're unbelievable. They get like 4-wheelers and stuff. That would have been amazing.
How many plays did you play with Brady?
Zero. I started in all sincerity, I only played. So the Patriots picked me up midway through the 05 year. I only played the fourth quarter of the Dolphins game, week 17, when Matt Castle came in and Doug Flutie did the drop kick. And I played on special teams against the Broncos. You know, that's one of my claim to fame, Dan. I only ever played in one playoff game. And it was the first playoff game that Brady ever lost. Brady was like 10-0 in the playoffs until I got in. And then
did Brady know your name, Ross?
What, say it again?
Did Brady know your name?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. Because I think he comes, anytime you get signed, the first thing he does is come up to you and he's like, shakes your hand. Hi, Ross. I'm Tom. Nice to meet you. Like, hi, Tom. I know who you are. And then I was the center a lot in practice. So he would come in the huddle and be like, all right, Ross, you and me, great snap first. Like, he takes it real, real seriously. So he definitely knew who I was. And then 06, I got traded to Cleveland. So I never actually was in a regular season game with Tom Brady.
Give me that impersonation of Brady again in the huddle.
So before he calls the play, he looks at me. And Dan, this is like spring OTAs. He's already won 3 Super Bowls. He's like, all right, Ross, you and me, great snap first, great snap first. And then I'm like 26, 27. I've started 25 games. And I look at him, I'm like, all right, man, all right. But in my head, I'm like, okay, Tom, yeah. I mean, and, dude, I got to say this, Dan. He lives his life differently than anybody else. So I played 18 years of football. I was a lineman most of the time. The quarterback center exchange is so mundane. It's so like, you take a ball, you hit your butt crack with it, the quarterback's top hand is there, boom. Quarterback's like, oh, whatever. I never played with a quarterback that cared nearly as much about that snap as Brady. And this is practice, but like, in his psychopath head, he wanted that, like that smack when you hit the top hand, because that meant it was a perfect snap. He could look at the defense a little sooner. So like, think about anything in life, okay? And you're just doing something to do it. Brady doesn't look at anything like that. Brady looks at every single thing in his life as a chance to get just a little bit better at it and try to perfect. I mean, that's why he is who he is.
You're the best. Hey, happy birthday, Ross. I hope you don't get any gifts today. You don't need
Thank you, Dan. See you guys. Yep. I'll be back on chat row right now. Shout out chat row and back row.
All right. That's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Nice.